afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. You have tuned in to Radiance by Design, and this show is meant to help us all learn to radiate at a higher level. That means shift our frequency, change the energy, change the reality. Reality. What do you think of that word? This is a time on the planet where, oh my goodness, it's such an interesting narrows as we're moving from one paradigm or many paradigms to a new set of paradigms. And it's really a big, it's called the shift by some beings. And you know what's exciting about it is that some of the systems are going to break down. And my guides love to call our system that's breaking down the oligarchy, which is the rule of a few, many by a few, for selfish and greedy reasons. And as our economic system breaks down and all of that, and our Enron kind of experiences where the dishonesty and corruption is revealed, and all of this stuff is global, and the mortgage problems and so on. So we're seeing a breakdown of a lot of systems. A lot of people are feeling insecure. Retirement isn't the same and reliable like it was. The country's being supposedly broken by health care, but I think actually we've been broken by health care. A lot of people have. And the reality, the writing is on the wall, that the system is not working for the system that we've had is not working for the good of many. It's kind of an intriguing time, and I know that a lot of you are scared. I get all kinds of calls from people who are afraid and so on. And yet, the other thing my guides and angels are talking about a lot, and I believe, anyway, other teachers that I've talked to also experience this bit of information, which is that we've been programmed, our DNA has been programmed. We're a species that is meant to go through all kinds of experiences. I call it the jungles of consciousness. Go through all kinds of experiences until we get to a point where we can create our reality. And the juice for a lot of it has been free will. And so as we have this free will and we're learning to create our reality and the pressures are on, according to what my guides are saying, is that our DNA is built to be able to unlock that limitations in our lifespan, in our self-healing capacities, in our ability to see beyond the moment and the third dimension. All of that is able to be embraced, or we're able to break out of the locks in our DNA that prevented us from being able to be as magical as we really are. Magical is just a word that defines living beyond the limitations and the boundaries and seeing things beyond what we normally expect. So I find this is kind of a crazy time. It's an interesting time. A lot of people seem to be popping off the planet, and we hear that that's to be expected because some people don't want to participate in an absolutely changing civilization, and some people are meant to work from the other side, and some people's time is just up. But I've noticed there are a lot of people that surprise us that are just popping off lately. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, and maybe all of this goes together with this subject, is our identity. And how, for example, if you're a man who's 70 and you worked in a life of quiet desperation for how many years, 45 years or something, to save for your retirement so you could then live, and your retirement is now gone, your investment in your house is gone, and you never really did invest in who on earth you really are, then your identity is now very questionable by you, isn't it? Your identity has been kind of shattered. So you look at it and you go, here I was, a successful man, and here I am now, no longer a success. What on earth do I do with that? And I'm fascinated. That's just one example. But as people have to shift from what they thought was going to happen, the way the system was prescribing their future life, and it's not happening, your identity is really up for grabs. And we've had huge, huge tallies on who's a success and who's a failure and who's going to make it through this lifetime and who's going to succeed. Well, you know what? Success was often based upon looking good and having money and being healthy and all of that kind of stuff. And a lot of that's crumbling. Looking good, maybe you're okay on that. But having a normal kind of successful, you know, I used to be taught in the olden days that if you get yourself a degree and you get yourself a good husband, you've got yourself some good old security. Well, that didn't work either, did it? Isn't that amazing? So I don't know what that was. Bob just gave you something, but I don't quite know what it is. Oh, it's a new call number. Okay, well, we need that, don't we? So anyway, I want us all to spend some time today looking at our identity. So just take a minute with me. Well, actually, we're going to do the sacred geometric structures to begin with. We're going to look at our identity, and we're going to look at separating from it. And who are you really? Are you really the person with the cute haircut and the nice clothes? Are you the one who has a crummy old car? Is that your identity? I mean, what kind of things are you using for identity? Can you sit for a minute in that and take a look? How do you measure your success? Is it by how you look and how you present yourself in the world and what kind of job you have and whether you're secure or what? I want us to be able to go in and feel that connection with our identity, and then sit with it. And I want us to move away from it and find out, discover who we really are. And when we're talking about unlocking the DNA so that it's not fraught with the same limitations, which would have had a lot to do with our way of prescribing success, right? As we break out of some of those locks in the DNA, guess what? Our identity gets to, or the way we really are, gets to unfold, and we get to be, in quotes, magical compared to what we were before. Let's take a look at what that looks like. So right now we're going to go into the sacred geometric structure, and we're going to do some very quick manifestation things, and we're going to go into the Galactic Healing Center, and we're going to meet something about our own identity, and then we're going to come back, and you're going to call in, and we already have a caller, and be patient, Carol, because we'll get back to you. I'm eager to talk to a lot of you today, and so let's have some fun. I love these structures, and I hear from some of you that you do too. They really are a potent way of setting up a research lab, a place where you can meditate and block out other interferences, and a place where you can really meet some aspects of yourself that might have been locked in by our old DNA reaction. Why is the DNA opening now? Under pressure. When we're pushed to either change and transform or become extinct, but, you know, that's a pretty extreme term. That's when the kind of, let's go back to this. Why are some people psychics and healers and intuitives and have near-death experiences and so on? That is the kind of shock that evokes an awakening beyond a third dimension in your lives, and that creates a whole different way of relating to life. Well, that's happening on a mass scale over this next while. So some people are floundering and becoming afraid, but I'm here to say, let's work our way out of it. Let's become multidimensional. Let's become magic. Let's let that DNA unravel, and not unravel, but unlock. How about that? Now let's see if we can't design a future that is a win-win for all. We used to say when my daughter was growing up, a wiener, wiener for all. So, all right, close your eyes and let's draw our sacred geometric with the sculpting tools of our minds and hearts. See above your head a golden ball, a beautiful golden ball. It's about 2 to 4 miles above your head. And below your spine is another golden ball, about 40 feet. And draw a filament, a radiant, radiant filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine all the way down into the lower golden ball. And now from the upper golden ball, drop a four-sided pyramid down to about waist height, about 20 feet out. And then upside down and meeting it, its point at the lower golden ball, another four-sided pyramid. So you're in an eight-sided structure called an octahedron. And inside the octahedron is this wonderful crystal ball you create. Look at the colors of it. Isn't it beautiful? It's radiant. And inside of that crystal ball, there you are. And let's see what you're spinning in today. You're inside of a kind of a crystalline structure, which to me looks like as it spins, it's a spiraling structure. So let's spin and spin and spin in our spiraling crystal structure. And whilst you spin, see in front of you a crystalline grid. And on the grid is where we'll place those movies about ourselves. Remember, we're starring in the movie, so we want to feel, sense, be in those. So up you go. Now, the first one I always ask to see myself being, or I design myself as being multidimensional, and all that that means, coming from the heart, knowing, seeing beyond this dimension. I recommend you all do that one because it looks like that's the way we're going to learn to evolve at this time. Yeah, a wonderful feeling. My heart just goes. And now beside that, what is it you'd like to construct? What kind of project do you want to create? It can be home and family. It can be relationship. Or it can be some humongous thing or a book. Something that you're an invention. Yeah. And see yourself in it, creating it. See the resources coming to you and the people that it takes or the connections it takes to design these.
Great.
And now you're in it and it's very successful. And the resources come to meet all your expenses and to, you know, flow through your life. And what a service it gives, thanks.
Great.
And now we're going to move to our sacred geometric, our galactic healing center. And we're calling in our healing team. These are beings of light, truth, consciousness, and love who are going to help us with healing and teach us about healing. And I get this circle of beings. Who comes into your sacred healing circle? And now they're circling around a bed or a chair. And I want you to put yourself on that bed first and foremost. And see what kind of healing they do for you. Yeah, there's so much love there, isn't there?
Yeah.
And just watch what they're doing with you. If you have any problems, just ask them to help with that. And now as they're working on you, pay attention to your own body, mind, and see if you can learn something that you need to do. And we'll ask them, do you have any advice for me? Any suggestions? Okay, and now wrap that scenario in light. These guys can replicate themselves, so you just wrap it in light and then set up a whole new, ask the team to show up again and set up a whole new table or chair and see who wants to come in for some healing. And have that person lie down, stretch out. And see what the team does for them. Sometimes the person refuses to come in too, so you can select someone, but don't be surprised if periodically they say, uh-uh, I don't need this. That was free will, right? But this one seems to be very happy I'm doing this with her. And now wrap that one in light and ask them to continue as we move on to the next one. We'll take a look at that one. Comes in for healing. This is somebody I don't know, so that's interesting. Okay, it's a person with an awful back stuff. And then we're letting them do their work, and I'm sending my love and affection and respect. And I'm going to wrap that one in light. And ask it to be carried on. After we go on to the next subject, which is, we always finish this with a political This is our political activity right now. See, let's see, Mr. Obama. And absolutely shine light on him that he feels the love and the support it's going to take for him to transform aspects of our society in the face of the machine. Yeah. We're trying to do some health reform right now. And, you know, when people keep talking about it, he gets caught in the wheels of the machine and the cogs of what's going on already and who's got the power. But I feel like I still feel like he's got the light, the ability, the intelligence. He just needs us to be, like, really sending a lot of light to him and really supporting the activity that he's doing to try and change things on the planet.
Good work.
And let's just take some bright, bright pink light from our hearts and souls and send that light over to Mr. Obama. And then send that light to all the hot spots you can think about it all over the world. This is the light of harmony and of intelligent expression, of win-win for all, of evolution. Let's send it to the hot spots all over the world and then just bathe Mother Earth, who herself needs our respect, our love, and our healing influence. That's it. And just wrap that earth. That's it. And it's all raging, raging pink. It's a beautiful, beautiful color. And bring that pink light back into your own chest. Because when we're creatures of harmony, boy, a lot of life can advance more easily. And so can Mother Earth. So come back in and say thank you to the team. Close off the Galactic Healing Center. And arrive back into your spinning, spiraling, crystalline form in the center of the structure. And spin, and spin, and spin. Good. And then come on back in here. Now let's just take a minute. I forgot to do the identity thing there, so just take a minute. And just imagine, close your eyes again, and then just imagine all the ways in which you've described your success. What is your identity to you? We're going to do this off and on through this show. What is your identity to you? What are you attached to about your identity? That's right. Where did you get the idea that this is how you should be? Was it from a deep inner drive? Or was it because of that great school you went to, which told you how to dress? Sounds like I'm building up to a Bob Dylan song from the 60s or something. Yeah. So take a look at your identity. We all have this issue. Everyone's got this issue. And the thing is, I want to talk about identity, and I want to talk about enslavement. The enslavement I'm referring to is that very often we're marketed, and our minds are marketed, to say that this is what success looks like. This is how you have to be successful. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to buy. And we all buy into it. And the movies tell us about, you know, who's going to murder who and all this kind of stuff and how to be powerful and strong. And we meet the Terminators and all these other characters. Well, I'm kind of fascinated lately by the subject of enslavement. And so it really is kind of parallel or part of the same picture of going in and looking at your own identity, really looking at it very carefully and getting to know what it is, and then asking yourself where it came from and what it really means to you, and then going in farther, sitting in farther and asking if that's really you. What is that? Is that really you? Is that a socially, a friend of mine used to always talk about, he wanted to make movies about the socially constructed reality. I think that might be another thing to throw in. Anyway, I know we have a caller, but this is food for thought. And, I want your thoughts on it, and I'm hoping a bunch of you will call in. So, Carol, I know you're on the line.
Hello?
Hello. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for being so patient.
Oh, no, I was listening the whole time. That was great.
Oh, good. How's your identity?
I think it's good.
Is it who you are?
It's getting real close.
So you have a question for me. I'm glad to hear your voice.
You too. Well, always the question of, I actually met somebody who I'm really fascinated with, and my heart just felt like it burst open when I met him a few months ago. And I'm just wondering what you see there.
Are you going out with him?
He's pretty far away.
But he's on the planet.
He is on the planet.
In my world, that's not such a crazy question, right?
I know. No, he really is on the planet. We talk in email.
You know what's interesting about, you talk in email. What's really interesting, how did you meet
him? We did meet in person.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
You often have, and I've known Carol off and on for a few years now, but you often have somebody who's either traveling or just, he's got a lot to do with traveling, right?
Yeah.
Now, this fellow's really different. Is he studying? He looks like he's got some kind of business that travels, and he studies a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he's coming back. He's not from where you're from, right?
No.
Because he's coming here, or you're going to get together very soon.
Probably a year from now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot sooner than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All of a sudden, it seems like it's really important to do that. And so I would say this looks like a really good thing, and that you might travel to him, but I think he's going to travel to you. And he has does he have another business issue in your area?
Not that I know of.
Because I think you're going to get some serendipitous reasoning for him to arrive in your environment somewhere.
And oh, my goodness. That would be wonderful, but...
Yeah, he wants to do that. Well, you know what happens? We can start being very magical, Carol, and he can create it. He has a really deep interest in you, actually.
Really?
And he's a little worried about it.
Well, he loves everybody, and everybody loves him, but I feel like I'm deeply connected to him.
Does he have children?
No, he lost one at birth. He may want them.
I don't think you're going to want to give him babies at this point.
What's that?
I don't think you're going to want to give him babies at this point.
That's the thing. There is an age difference, which you know about, and that seems to work for you.
I feel like he's really deeply attracted to you. It's not just attraction. Like you said, it's a deep bonding.
Yeah.
There's something very important about this relationship. And I feel like he's going to find a way to get to you. And he does it with business. Do you understand what his business is? Because he does it through a business thing.
You know, it's not completely clear. He does a lot of different things. I mean, I know some of the pieces of it, but I don't know all of them.
Well, he's a funny guy because when he wants to see you, he needs to know where this is going to go. He needs to know what it is. Because he feels a pull. He has a draw to you, and he gets a stomach ache, and he feels a strange, and he's not used to it. He feels a strange kind
of... Is that why I'm feeling a stomach ache for the last 3 days since I talked to him for 2 hours?
Yes.
Oh, I'm just like, I've been almost sick to my stomach.
Oh, well, unhook it.
Ever since that day that I talked to him.
Well, you know what it is? It's like when we get that, it's like the bonding is a cellular bonding. A cellular bonding is harder to make sense of, and sometimes it's really harder to resist.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is through the stomach. But the reason for that is that he's really afraid of losing his way.
Yeah.
That's what you picked up. You picked up his stream of fear of his own power.
Uh-huh.
Made me burp. about an identity problem. He's really worried about losing himself here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he'll find a business string, something in his business, that he can bring himself fairly close to you to spend a little time.
Wow. Well, as I say, he says it'll be June or so of next year, but I'm wondering if I should... I don't have a choice. I have to just keep myself open to that because it's a powerful connection.
Well, the thing is that it's pulling on him really hard, too. So if I were you, okay, and ladies and gentlemen at home, one of the best things to do, and we know this, you've all heard me say this before, is to go inside and, you know, set yourself up in the structures if you can, or set yourself up so that you're in your sacred space. Go up into your higher self and go over and talk to his higher self and get conversations going back and forth because you're both highly intuitive and you should be able to hear each other's thoughts at that level.
That actually, I can do that. I have done that for a couple months.
Okay. I think he's going to make a point of getting out here in the next couple of months.
Wow.
And the part of the reason for that is because you're driving him crazy, girl.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many others. I'm serious. There are a lot of others in the mix right now, but maybe there's something significant here. So.
Do you think he's... I think there's something else going on here. There's a huge soul pull going on between the two of you.
A soul pull?
Yeah. He wants to know what it's about.
Uh-huh. I do, too.
And I think he's the kind of... I'm not promising what comes out after it, but
yeah.
I think the key with this guy is that he's like, oh, this is happening. Oh, I have to figure it out. Oh, I better find a kind of way to do some business so I can do that.
He could do something like that if he wanted to.
Yeah, he's a pretty interesting character.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he'll settle down or whether he'll find all of that, but I do find that there's going to be a connection faster than you think.
Huh.
And it's worth it. It's fun.
I think so.
You look
wow.
pretty darn good, girl.
I think I am pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm retired, and I do artwork that I love, and life's good.
Well, it's just wonderful to hear from you, and thank you for your call.
Yes, thank you so much, and take care.
You too. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, I want to go back to enslavement. Oh, in that case, I want to say to Carol, it is kind of funny. I'm talking about enslavement and identity, and oh, thank you for your call. I'll get with you in a minute. I'm talking about enslavement and identity, and there we are. We meet somebody or we get hooked up with somebody who's on a soul level, and I'm not saying that she's enslaved by it, but you see how we get kind of pulled back and forth subconsciously or even superconsciously or cellularly with certain people, and it's where we start losing what we think is our own way of formatting our lives because we're being pulled from another direction. That's part of the deal, too, isn't it? It's complicated. I always recommend that we go in and clear those cords, like ask to feel all the energy that comes from him and command total release. Because if you're really meant to be with somebody in a healing way and you clear those cords, guess what? It'll be even better. They don't go away if they're meant to be something for you. Okay, I'll take your call. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Veronica, can you
yeah.
hear me?
Yes, sure can.
It's Jaya.
Hi, Jaya. How are you?
I'm okay. I have a real specific question for you. I was planning to go to a Qigong retreat in Ashland tomorrow, and there are all these obstacles that have been coming up for the last week, mostly in the form of my car breaking down and my body.
Yeah, I don't want you to go.
What?
I don't want you to go.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, period. I just want to say, look, and you'll be okay because you can catch up on it. You know what I mean? You don't want to miss anything, but it looks like it could get pretty uncomfortable for you.
Is it physically or otherwise?
I think it's physical.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the people there? It's a number of different things, but the first thing I'm seeing is physical.
Uh-huh.
You're not ready to do that yet, honey.
Well, thank you, because it's just been unreal the way the car keeps having problems, expensive problems, and my body keeps having strange symptoms, and it's like, it's just kind of a mystery, because I was really looking forward to it.
Well, it's something interesting about this, Jaya, and for people at home as well, is when you don't go, okay, if you don't go, I'm assuming you're not going to go now, but if you don't go, you have something coming up this weekend that is really very blessed.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So it isn't just loss, because their first thing they're saying to you, you won't lose out by not going.
Okay.
And you will have some sort of really lovely event, probably, I don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday, but something really blessed comes up for you, and you'll be really just settle and let your body heal. Jaya had surgery, for those of you who don't know. So it's like you need to have some healing time, but then they smile and say, there's this lovely event coming up.
Oh, thank you so much. That's such a relief, because I... the friend I was going with is really disappointed, and
I think she would understand that you could be sicker, or you could have a physical difficulty.
Right, or the car could have more difficulty too.
Well, and the car is our vehicle, and so is your bod when you think about it.
Right.
You know, and you're getting quite a strong message.
Yes. Thank you for the confirmation. It's just like I didn't want to be a wimp.
Exactly. But I want, you see, that's the hardest thing about getting messages, is it not? Because we get messages. How many things do all of us have in our history where we go, darn, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I got that message, but I didn't listen, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at overriding my signals. So.
Well, that's because you're really a good, driven soul trying to get things done and accomplish things, you know? And so it's a good thing, but it's kind of misused when we don't, when, see, now that's an example of also being caught up in our identity in a way. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Caught up in being a good person who's doing the right thing, who's going to be successful, who's going
right.
to get herself beyond this and that. Drop in and be, you just have to drop in and be this weekend for a bit. You need to have a little cry, too. I'm not sure why, but it doesn't matter.
I know. I've been on the brink of tears for the last few days.
I really want you to cry.
For no apparent reason. Huh?
Yeah. We want you to cry.
Okay.
I'll just email me. I'll sit there and just really be with you if you want to do that. But you need to do that. There's a clearing that's happening, and you're changing radically, and you're a very, very spiritual woman who's going to come to a new opening and how you're presenting that to the world. So there's a gestation going on here.
Uh-huh.
And there's been a lot of limitation, as you know. You know?
I know.
So bless your heart, and I hope to hear how you are.
Thank you, Veronica. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jaya. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you're listening to Radiance by Design, because we're learning to radiate at a higher level. In that example, Jaya is a very spiritual and conscious woman, and as she goes through this weekend, it's interesting because her radiance is going to pick up and radiate out at a higher level than it is right now. And that's kind of how we get evoked in life, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, through abuse and difficult situations where we wake up other powers and so on. The process is not always comfortable. There's a wonderful woman named Marina Kreider who does amazing artwork. She's in her 70s and very much a good teacher, great teacher. She's going to be on June the 30th. And she was talking about always follow your bliss. Thank you for your call. I'll be with you in a minute. Follow your bliss, but sometimes it can be anguishing. That's where we tear ourselves apart and go, oh, am I really letting myself down, or am I actually following a good message, following the prompt? Hello, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Jonquil.
Hi, Jonquil. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
So I'm really calling with an identity crisis question.
Oh, good. You like that.
In terms of, I think that I've found in looking that part of my identity from years ago was to sort of try to defy all of the set patterns that one would have as a woman. For instance, I didn't have children. I didn't get married and have children. So I think I've realized I spent a bunch of time just kind of making an identity around my skills, my creative skills, or, you know, excellence around that, but not around making family, even though that was one of the programs that would have been obvious. Now I find that I have no family, you know, no immediate family. I have a sister and her extended family, but none of my own. And it's a hugely lonely feeling. So I think that it's, it just dawned on me while I was listening to you that in trying to establish one kind of an identity, I am at a loss for another kind of an identity. And at this, it, I guess my thought is that it seems really more complex. It's like there's all these levels of identity, how to make a living when that comes to an end or change or shift, how shattering that is. But it's strange to be at a place where I feel completely schizophrenic about all of them.
I have a lot of compassion for that, actually. You put it very succinctly, and there's a number of people in our society right now experiencing some version of that. You know that, eh?
Yeah. Well, another instance that just sort of brought it all into focus and it made me cry is that I know I long for children that I don't have to be a mother, and my sister is a mother and a grandmother, and she just found yet another grandchild that they didn't know they had, and the joy of knowing there's another young, beautiful woman out there, and I thought, wow, yet another circumstance of my sister having another person to call her own, and I still don't, or, I mean, I guess I never will in that way, so it's just interesting to look at that as, like, how does that work out in identity, and knowing that I just have so many things that I need to release myself from. I was trying to think about it yesterday. How do I see a future where I can say, what if it's nothing like what I thought? What if I wasn't afraid of anything and I could go do something that didn't have to fit any of the patterns
but you see,
that I recognize as myself?
There's one of the things that I'm watching inside of you is right in your soul journey. You have an unfoldment drive, okay? Some people have less of this than others. You have a strong drive deep in the soul to unfold and unfold and unfold. When I look at your sister, I see her bonding with her family. There's a lot of really deep soul commitments working through there. Yours is not so like that. Yours is more of, you know, I was talking about Rowena Kreider's stuff, and I was just saying she says sometimes it's anguish when you follow your bliss, but you need to do that. But for you, you have that. There's something coming up for you that's coming from way inside, and I think that you get reflections from your belly and your stomach area. And yeah, as you get older, you're going to attract a different level of young people in a big way. You're going to see that you had to nurture the essential, authentic self in order to achieve fulfillment in this lifetime, and it's going to bring to you sort of an interesting harmony with some very fascinating young people. You're going to be teaching something you don't even know how to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's a prediction which, of course, you can change in a heartbeat. You know, it's not meant to be an authority for you. But so your soul journey is a very different drive than your sister's.
Yes. Yes, I think that is, it's clearer and clearer. I'm so surprised when I guess your question about what do we see ourselves as, and I've had so many of those things that I chose at some level and said, okay, this is who I am, and I'm going to prove it to you kind of thing.
Right.
And then when I stop long enough to go inside and have a different approach, which is to say, who are you in there, and listen, try to hear something coming out. It's amazing how complicated my construct of my identity has been.
I want to say this, it's also been reactive or defiant, you know?
Yes, I mean, it's just, as I said, I mean, I don't know if I ran away, but I certainly went away from all of the ought to's or we thought you'd be or, you know, the message coming from family, well, you'll be something like this. And I'm like, no, I won't. I'll be this. And then go and prove it, you know. Or, I don't know, just sort of a stubbornness to prove things, I guess, or something.
But could we look at it another way and say, in that defiance and in that reactive force, and in which you purified a lot of your products, because your products were stunning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to the point where we're not in defiance to let the real, authentic self come bubbling up yet again, don't we?
Yes.
And that's where you're at right now, darling.
Yeah, it seems like such a void, or maybe more like a stillness, you know, just in the middle of just no knowing at all, you know. Like that, I think that's what I identify as the schizophrenic. Like, I think, well, what is it? And then I'll bring up all these things that I've known that I've been in the past, and they just, I look at them with this feeling of, what is that? I don't want to go back. I don't want to go be any of those things again, yet, you know, what does one do?
One meditates, for example. One drops into center and knows the silence, because it's in there that stuff starts to come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're coming to a time where I don't know what you're going to do, but it's a lot. It's a lot. You're going to do a lot of stuff, but it's not ever going to be anything driven like what you had before.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very artistic and really passionate and quite intense, I would say, but really quite delightful for you. And you'll feel
mm-hmm.
like you just gave birth. You'll feel like a new kind of a birth that's different than anything
mm-hmm.
you've done before. And I believe that
maybe it's more meditating than I have ever known how to do or to be with. You know, I just... as there seems like there's all of these old patterns and ways just calling daily, you know, 3 hours here, do this, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this, yet none of them... None of those behaviors are helping.
You know, it's funny, when I first meditated years ago, I had so much trouble with the TM and the this and the that I learned to sit down and put a timer on for 20 minutes, and I used to say over and over as a mantra, I empty, I empty, I empty, I empty. Because
mm-hmm,
I was
mm-hmm.
like the Tasmanian devil inside.
Yeah.
And it worked like a hot dang, because what happens is have you ever tried that sort of simple thing?
No, I mean that sounds. I've tried writing it when the confusion has come so strongly, like you should go look this way, look that way, look that way, and I think I've never just like emptied with no regard for what was in there. You know, I think somehow I've felt that it was important to acknowledge it or something. I don't know what that is. That could be one of those old behaviors of, you know, making a list and then doing it.
One of the things that you have for your in your personality is that ability to really do, get things done and really do, you know? And
mm-hmm.
that is probably in the way. So that's why I empty, I
mm-hmm.
empty, or something, you know, you can get much more spiritual than that. But
yeah.
It worked for me because it got me out of, I ought to do this and I ought to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I went, and finally,
yeah.
It was, I was almost addicted to it for a while because it was such, I would get such a feeling of freedom and light, and other things start happening. You don't do it so something will start happening. You do it so everything will go into silence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
is our identity, the identities that we are aspiring to or longing for or hopefully headed towards, you know, as a people or as a society or as whatever on Earth, is it about being able to find them in a better way? I mean, do we even have to ditch our systems of how we thought identity would come to us?
I don't know about ditching it. I think actually separating from it long enough to let the inspiration of God or Goddess or Mother, Father, God or Creator Spirit can only come through when we leave some space through us, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's always a purpose for our beingness. there's always a role that you, Jonquil, you're the only one in the universe that can be that particular vibrational vehicle of whatever. And, you know, when we have our identities concocted from reaction from other people, from lineage, from soul experience, we don't ever get to let that through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm watching you and I'm going, well, you're just an amazingly textured, wonderful, bright, solid being. But you got to clear away, and you're right, if you clear away all the systems that have helped you create a successful identity, it seems weird. Now, you may return and do all exactly the same stuff, but you'll never do it the same way, and you'll never feel the same, and you will be more fulfilled, because you'll hear from your higher spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that make sense?
It does make sense, and it's interesting. It's as if I actually ask for this time to come to me, which is to say, there's nothing that I have to do. I don't have to do a single thing. I don't even have to get out of bed in the morning. But, you know, it's as if I asked for that to come to me, and now that I have it, I look around, and and I have all these, as you say, systems in place, and I'm afraid to enact them because that seems like those are all just the veils and the stall. On the other hand, I don't know what to do. I mean, maybe I should just meditate more.
I just feel like this. When you have to enter the silence.
Yeah.
Because our brains are computers, and they're programmed to have this reaction, that reaction, think this way, la, 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 la. And right now, you're in a state of change that is absolutely momentous. And that change is going to bring you into service that'll just, it's very fulfilling. But you cannot use the existing system.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know what I mean shortly. It's not going to take you that much longer, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I would use your painting, drawing, writing, but there's nothing like just sitting in silence or sitting with a mantra. You know?
Okay.
That makes sense?
I'm trying to let it make sense. You know, that's the schizophrenia of it. I mean, just to, like, let go of...
Okay, what is schizophrenia? It means you're thinking more than one thing at a time, and you're having visions and all kinds of strange things, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're being split between more than one way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just sit in there and follow your breath for 20 minutes, or use a mantra. The other mantra, some great mantras are I am.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is so hum. You know, there's a whole number of them. I used IMT because deep down I'm kind of practical.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running out of who to believe at the time.
Yeah.
So, but I know that these work because, to me, they're like great lint pickers for the soul. They go round and round and round.
Yeah.
And you need to get all of those other ideas out of your way for long enough for you to let your real spirit come through, you know, with higher guidance, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Excellent, yes.
All right, much love to you, and thank you so much for your courageous question.
Yes, thank you.
All right,
bye,
Ellen. We have a wonderful paradigm shifter coming up. It's Wendell Stevens. This is a rerun of a show that we did last year, but it was really wonderful, all about what's going on in the world of aliens and how they're going to be supportive of us, how we support them, how we are all talk about changing your identity. Holy mackerel, the whole factor of encouraging or having aliens be in our society and, you know, going out for dinner together or whatever. Anyway, listen to Wendell Stevens if you've got time at 5 o'clock for Paradigm Shifters. And I want to talk about next week's Paradigm Shifters, who are Judith and Jim, and they've written, talking about change. Boy, I had so many notes here I haven't even touched for today's show. But talking about changes going on the planet. They were therapists, the husband and wife team, and they were therapists for 17 years. And then they decided to do something else. And so they were, I believe, doing some marketing, and they found the internet marketing world was absolutely mind-bogglingly confusing. So they finally, after they've written books on relationships that are apparently wonderful, I haven't read them yet, but they've read The Heart of Marketing, which is the art of spiritualizing selling. They're saying that selling and buying are actually spiritual acts, and how can we infuse consciousness into marketing for the sake of all of us So I'm very eager to be talking to them next week on Paradigm Shifters. They will be quite a fascinating couple. And let's see, Thursday night I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti and her team. We're talking, I don't know what we're going to talk about this time, but we're working on what it takes for the team to function and what can we learn from them. And I love talking to them. They're just so delightful and healing. And my name is Veronica Entwistle, and I wanted to read a letter to you, and I know my time is getting short, but this letter is from a dear friend named Judy. And I was talking to her about how we're enslaved. I'm saying every time you buy a Slurpee, and this is going back to Cheney and the oligarchy and all that, I say every time you buy a Slurpee, it's a political vote for enslavement. She said, how does that work? Anyway, I was talking about other things as well. And that's something to really bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Our politics is how we live, what we buy, where we're going, what decisions we make. That's what encourages that dominance that's been going on and our fear of the system breaking down and our loss of our identity. Anyway, here's Judy's letter. I spent a good part of the day thinking about what you said. You do inspire things to think about, people to think about things from a different angle. So here's the interesting stuff. I found my mind wandering from one subject to another, such as politics, enslavement, to strong-arm tactics from collection agencies and just general world affairs. One of the thoughts that came up for me is this. Years ago, I remember saying to someone that I'm too busy to be involved with politics and world affairs. Right after that thought came another. Isn't that the whole point? They, whomever they are, keep us so busy we don't have time to really and truly be awake. We're not only enslaved on that level, but enslaved on a whole tier. So if I were to break it down, rather build a tier, this is how it would look in my opinion. The let's keep them busy tier, which of course the root is fear. 1, we have to work. 2, so we can keep a roof over our head. 3, so we can pay our bills. 4, to buy stuff we're led to believe we need. 5, to put money in a savings account or long-term retirement plan so big banks can use our money and to make more money and serve their interests. When they make a loan to us, we're charged high interest. Why is it when we deposit money in their bank on long-term retirement plans, we're subjected to tiny interest rates? Wouldn't they be charging us 28.4%? Why aren't we charging them more on our money? It's just a thought. We're forced, so to speak, to buy into insurance plans for, in brackets, just in case, which leads to stress, which leads to being sick. Yet another cycle. All insurance plans are this way. Our money is based on fear. And from there, we end up taking drugs that are worse for us than the actual ailment we might have had, or they tell us we have. We have to save money for children's college fund because we're told that without an education, we will be nothing. I could go on and on, but I'm sure you get my point. My question is this. How do we break the bonds of enslavement? Stop the vicious cycle? Sure, I can stop supporting big consumerism. I can stop supporting drug companies and, as you said, stop buying Slurpees. However, where is this leading? Don't we all need to be on the same ship, so to speak, to really create change? There are so many world affairs that I become confused as to which issue I should help with first. It's the confusion that's the enslavement. I suppose this is pretty linear of me to ask such a question. Blah, blah, blah. So this is all, so she said, what do your guides and angels say we should do? More importantly, what do you think? It's all food for thought. So what do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? Talking about enslavement, this is how I'll end the show. I just want to say, when you're thinking about your identity and you're thinking about how you've presented yourself to the world, it's a really good thing to ask yourself, why is my, like with Jonkel, she was courageous enough to say that some of her identity was based on reaction and her successful identity was based on reaction. She was courageous to say that. What's yours based on? Are we marketed? Are we thinking for ourselves? I think our coming out of, this is a time in the history of the world where we're coming out of being in a trance. We're awakening our DNA. We're waking up, ladies and gentlemen, and I think that's how to deal with enslavement. More to follow. Tune in next week on Radiance by Design. This is Veronica Entwistle. I love working with people, so if you want a session with me, it's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. If you have feedback about this show or the Paradigm Shifter shows or Jackie's shows, or if you have suggestions for guests, please email me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. And know that in this time on the planet, going through the narrows, we really want to send love out everywhere we go. And remember, whether you're in a different thought group or you're born again or you're metaphysical or you're this or that, we can all love each other. We're all in the same stew. So I send you all much love and thank you for listening.